Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive even during these tough economic times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and as always, it is an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what are we going to find on our 30-minute time together today? Well, first off, during our radio seminar time, we are going to pick up where we finished last time. Now, last time we talked about financial bondage, you know, the symptoms and the causes. Okay, now that was the bad news. That was the hard news. Now today is the good news, because today we're going to talk a bit about how God wants to use wealth according to His definition. Listen, how He wants to use the material areas of your life to help bring about His will, His purpose, and His plan for you and your life. All right? And the next, well, we're going to talk about two, maybe three debt and borrowing questions having to do with borrowing from non-Christians. We'll hit on leases. And if we have time, we'll talk about taking out a mortgage to buy a home. Great, great, great questions. Then you're going to discover where Clark Howard, now remember, Clark Howard is our consumer advocate friend. Well, Clark has a place that he suggests that we go and buy our car tires. We're going to share that place with you. And then, of course, we're going to end up with a great minute with Maxwell, as we always do, as John Maxwell focuses on the word plan. And here you're going to discover that you cannot anticipate every change in life. You know, it's okay to plan ahead. Yes, we do need to plan ahead, but we need not to be disappointed when you need to shift the direction that you are headed in order to get to where the Lord would have you to be. All right, that's our minute with Maxwell. It's going to be a good time. And as a matter of fact, I really encourage you to stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss a thing on today's show. Now, as we start, as we always start, let me open us up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for meeting with us again today. Please, will you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, recall that during earlier radio seminar times together, you have seen that there are ways that the Bible says God will not use money, He will not use wealth in your life. And by the way, if you see any of those ways up and operating in your life, you are either headed into or you are already in financial bondage. Now, the other side of that coin is that there are ways that God will not use money in your life, according to the Bible, there are ways that He will use wealth. According to His definition, He will use the wealth that He places into your hands. And these ways point to financial freedom. So this time around, let's begin to look down the road to financial freedom and discover just some of the ways that the Lord says He will use wealth in your life. Now, if you see any of these ways up and operating in your life, well, then it's a good sign, it's a good key, it's a good indication to you that God is up and operating in your life. Now, to kind of lay the background a little bit, and I believe I might have shared this with you one other time before, but I spent a good number of years in the Air Force after having asked Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And while I was still in the military, even though I was a new Christian, I found it, I had a hard time finding a time to have a quiet time. There was just so much going on that was not related to my walk with God, I didn't think. But now, the good news is, spending time with God is part of my job description. I mean, one of the really neat things about full-time ministry is that I can take more time to study and to read and to pray and get into God's Word. And by the way, the more time we spend together, the more He shows me. And one of the interesting things that He's shown me, I mean, did you know this? Listen, did you know that there are over 70 different names for God and over 150 different descriptions of God? You see, in the New Testament, Jesus gave, well, He gave His disciples and He gave each one of us a new way to address God, didn't he? I mean, in the Old Testament, God was, he was an I Am. He was El Shaddai. He was Jehovah, and Lord of War, and so many, many more. But Jesus gave us a new name for God. Recall that in the Lord's Prayer, that we can call God who? Certainly. We can call God our Father. Even our Abba Father, which means what? Do you know what that means, Abba Father? Well, it means Daddy. You see, according to the Bible, we can have such an intimate and personal relationship with the Lord God of this universe that we can snuggle right up into His arms and call Him Daddy. Now, why did He do that? Why does He give us the opportunity to call Him Abba Father, Daddy? Well, I got to believe it's to help us understand that God is not some genie in a bottle, and He is not some stern taskmaster just looking for an excuse to come out and to whoop us about the head and shoulders. No. You see, as your father, you are to recognize that God loves you. You know, as a matter of fact, and I think this is a great saying. I don't know where it came from, but it's a great saying. Have you ever heard this? God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. Isn't that great? Let me give that to you again. God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. You see, He not only loves you, man, He has a will, a plan, and a purpose for you. And sometimes, according to the Bible, sometimes He is going to use money, He is going to use wealth according to His definition to help bring about that will, that plan, and that purpose. Now, let me give you several good examples of this, okay? And here's the first example, okay? God will often use money to allow you to determine your trust in Him. Luke 16:11 tells us, "So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" Now I have to say right off the bat, God doesn't need this demonstration. Oh, no. God knows exactly what's going on inside of you each second of the day. The Holy Spirit keeps Him up to speed second by second. This demonstration is not for God. It is for you. It is for you to demonstrate your trust to you so that you can see where you are spiritually. My friend, it is a thermometer for you to take your own spiritual temperature. And by the way, one of the things that we find, I think, if we take a look, one of the things that we find is either that we trust Him or we don't. Now, sometimes we might have a problem with that, don't we? I mean, for example, sometimes in coaching, I'll hear somebody say, "Ooh, sure, I trust God, but I can't get along without my credit cards, Bob. I really can't. I just might have an emergency." Well, I tell you, sometime in counseling, when I hear words like this, and after looking at their credit and spending card habits, I feel like saying, "Man, you have certainly had some emergencies in your life, haven't you?" You better got to ask you. What emergency is too large for God to handle if you truly trust Him? You know, I remember a story. There was this new Christian that went to a funeral. It was on a Saturday morning. He went to the funeral. It was kind of rainy out, so he left his lights on, went into the funeral, came back out, and of course, when he came back out, he tried to start the car. The car wouldn't start. The battery had run down. So he thought, well, you know, I'm a new Christian. The pastor was discipling me. I'm beginning to understand what it's like to trust God. I'm going to pray to God and ask Him to start my car. And so he did. He prayed, asked God to start the car, but the car didn't start. And so the guy got out of the car, went back into the church, went up and found the pastor, and he said, "Pastor, you lied to me." And the pastor said, no, wait a minute. What's going on?" He said, "You lied to me. You told me God is trustworthy. I just proved that He is not. Tell me what happened." And the guy told him what happened. Tried to start the car wouldn't start, prayed, God wouldn't start the car. Pastor said, "Oh my, there's something wrong here." He says, "Listen, let me ask you a couple of questions. How much time, since we've been meeting, how much time each day have you spent praying? How much time? Have you been spending 8 hours a day praying? 6 hours? 30 minutes?" The guy just kind of hung his head. The pastor said, "2 minutes. 2 minutes, certainly, surely you've been spending at least 2 minutes a day praying." And the guy said, I got to tell you, Pastor, no, not every day. And the pastor said, he said, well, I know what the problem is. God is faithful, all right, but he just didn't recognize your voice and started somebody else's car. Oh, my goodness. This is fictitious, of course, but the principle is valid, isn't it? I mean, do you try to use God like some genie in a bottle? I mean, do you ignore God's principles and commandments? And whenever you have a problem, you simply pop the cork off the bottle, get it down off the shelf, pop the cork off the bottle and say, God, I need you to come out and solve my problem. And then what he's done, you ask him to hop back into the bottle and you place him back up on the shelf. Has that ever happened to you in your life? I'm telling you, that's not a father. And that is not God's plan. And that is not trust. Remember what we said? How we choose to use or misuse the material areas of our life is a good visible outside indicator to us as to the quality of relationship that we have with Him. You see, God tells you that He will use wealth. He will use the material areas in your life to see whether or not you trust Him. So let me ask you, do you trust God or do you just say that you trust God? Well, I will tell you, according to the Bible, God can use money to help you answer that question. Now, secondly, God uses money to develop your faith in Him. We find this in 1 John 3:22. We receive from Him anything that we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. Now, if we ask out of greed or envy, well, we are not asking in accordance with His will. And those of you who know, love, and trust God, and I know there are many of you out there who do, you know that this statement is true. Because you see, He tells us that He is faithful. He tells us in the Psalm, He says, sacrifice your rights unto God and pay your vows to the Most High, and then call upon me in your day of trouble, and I shall rescue you. And when we do, He does, and guess what? Our faith begins to build. So God will use wealth to develop our faith. Now, God may also use money in the lives of His people, in your life and my life, to demonstrate that He loves us. Matthew 7, 9 and 10, we are asked this. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? You know, I think there's a great parallel here that is good for us to remember. God is to us as we ought to be to our children. Now, my guess is, you're listening, you have children, right? You have at least a child. You may have more than one child. And so let's just say you go home later on today and you walk up to your front door and you put the key in the lock and even before you get a chance to open that door, that son or daughter of yours swings open the door and that child says, Mom, Dad, boy, did I miss you. I mean, how did your day go? Tell me what you learned. Oh, Mom, Dad, listen, I love you, and I commit. Listen, I've been thinking while you've been gone, everything you have ever told me to do, if I'd have done it, would have worked out just fine. All the things I didn't ask you about, you told me not to do, I did them, they didn't work out worth two hoots. Now, this is the way it's going to be from now on. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. You tell me to do something, I'm going to do it, okay? That's just the way it's going to be. Okay, now, what do you think? You know, what would your reaction be to a conversation like that, right? Besides pure shock, right? But listen, after you picked yourself up off the floor, you wouldn't tell that young person to go up onto the roof and jump off and try and fly. No. You would be very careful to provide whatever you knew he or she needed, whatever would be best for that young person. Is that not true? Well, it is true, and it is the same way with God. You see, God says, I love you, but you do not allow me to demonstrate it. You take the position of an owner. If you just took the position of a steward, man, I could knock your socks off by demonstrating my love to you. You see, God tells us in the Bible that sometimes He will use wealth, He will use the material areas of your life to demonstrate that He loves you. Now, I think we have time for one more example. Okay, last example for today. God says, I will use money in the lives of my people to provide a witness, and a witness that the world cannot deny. A witness so strong that when the world looks at you, well, listen, when the pre-Christian world looks at you as a believer, and they say something like, you know, I don't agree with you, but I can't deny you. I mean, I know you guys say that you don't think the government ought to be involved in all of this welfare business and all these entitlement programs, and that's what I hear you say. But what I see you do, well, I see your church back up what you say by sacrificing some of your own resources to help meet the needs of others. Man, that is a witness, isn't it? That's a testimony. But let me ask you, do you think that happens as much as it should in our world today? I got to believe the answer to that would be no, I don't believe so. Why? Well, let me ask another question. Do you believe that people in trouble tend to run to the church, or do they tend to run to the government when they need help? Well, Matthew 25:40, and well, that deals with the time when the people who think they are saved stand at the throne of judgment, and Christ divides them into two groups. Remember? Two groups based on their actions, not their words, but their actions. You see, my friend, it will have nothing to do with the number of times you attend church. It has nothing to do with how many classes you teach or whether your name has been on the church membership roster for the last 25 years. It will depend upon it whether or not you do the things that He has asked you to do. Do you feed those who are hungry? Do you clothe the naked? Do you visit those in prison? Remember the survey we talked about? Oh, it's been three or four times ago. And during that survey, what we found that Christians were asked two very important questions, okay? Questions to Christians. Here's the first one. If you were totally disabled and you could not work, do you believe the government would help take care of your needs? Now remember, this question was asked to Christians, okay? So you can't work. Do you think the government would help take care of your needs? Any ideas as to the response? Yeah, well, 97% responded yes. 97% said, yes, I believe I could count on the government to help take care of some of my needs. Question number two, and you can see right where I'm going, can't you? Question number two, if you were totally disabled and could not work, do you believe the fellowship in which you worship would help meet your needs? Again, any ideas? Well, let me tell you, only one half of 1% said, yes, I believe I can trust the body of Christ to give me a hand when I need it. You see, this is the witness we have among ourselves, much less to the pre-Christian community. Now, let me share with you a personal opinion here, okay? I got to believe that we leave the helping ministry as 2 Corinthians 8:14 to the government. And based on the Word of God, I believe that one of these days, you and I, each one of us, we are going to stand accountable for that, because that was never God's plan. So yes, God can and will and wants to use money in our lives to provide a witness to others. And again, one of these days, we are going to be judged on just how much of a witness we have been with all of the material resources that God has entrusted into our care and custody. So you see, there are ways that God will use money in our lives, all right? He's going to use money, remember where we've been, to determine our trust in Him. That was the first one, to develop our faith in Him. He will use money, you know, to demonstrate that He loves us, and He will use money to provide a witness, not only inside, but outside the body of Christ. And my friend, that's exactly where we're going to pick up during our next radio seminar time together. Okay, let's back down a little bit and let's spend some time answering some real world questions that directly relate to debt and borrowing. These are good questions, and I think you're going to find the responses helpful. At least I hope so, okay? Several questions. Here's the first one. Bob, do you believe it is okay for a Christian to borrow money from a non-Christian, or is that prohibited scripturally? Well, Jake, I have to tell you that God's word simply says that whatever you borrow, you're going to have to repay. And it does not specify whether a believer should borrow or should not borrow money from another believer or even from a non-believer. You see, it doesn't make any difference as far as the repayment is concerned. Now, it's true, there's a caution that appears in Proverbs 22:7, and that caution is, we're told, that the lender becomes an authority over the borrower. Okay, the lender becomes an authority over the borrower. Now, I got to believe that God would never have us sit under anybody else's authority but him. Now, does this mean you cannot borrow money from a non-believer? No, it does not. It just means that you need to watch carefully your position of a steward as you handle the resources that God gives you to manage. Great, great, great question. Here's another one. Is there a difference between personal debt, that is buying things for the family, and business debt? I mean, how could anybody operate a business in the United States of America today without using credit? Jim, I got to tell you, I disagree. According to the Bible, I have to disagree. I don't think it is any more essential for a business to borrow money than it is for an individual. Now, granted, borrowing makes things convenient, and there are circumstances where using a credit card can really be helpful. But I know a whole lot of Christians who operate their business and even their ministries debt-free. They don't use borrowed money at all. Now, how can you do it in these days and in these times? Well, I would suggest that one way would be to avoid debt would be to bring in money from investors. In other words, why not consider selling some of the equity of your business rather than borrowing? It hasn't been all that many years ago that this was the most common method of funding a business. I have to tell you, I don't see any essential difference in God's word between personal debt and business debt. I really don't. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't borrow. No, remember we said that's the Bible doesn't say you can't. It simply means that when you do, you assume a liability. You assume a liability and you assume the associated risks. You know, having counseled a whole lot of couples with enormous debts from failed businesses, I can tell you that borrowing to support a business, man, it can be a financial burden, and it can wreck your health, and it can wreck your family. So what you got to do is to be very careful about debt, any debt, particularly business debt. Why not establish the goal of eventually being debt-free, including your business? Do not get trapped into believing that indebtedness is normal, because it isn't. According to the Bible, it is not, nor should it ever be. Now, I don't know about you, but it is just about time for the Lauder family to buy some new car tires. And what I find is that buying tires, man, has never been so cost competitive as it seemed to be right now. And so it is very, very important to comparison shop. And remember, service after the sale is really important, particularly if you live in an area where there are lots of potholes, right? I'm just saying. All right. Now, while I love to shop local wherever I can, I still do my due diligence to check out and to compare prices. Now, our consumer advocate friend, Clark Howard, points out that generally speaking, you're going to find some of the lowest prices for tires this time of year at Walmart and Discount Tire Direct, while there's a group called Tire Rack that offers probably the largest single selection. Now, Sam's Club and BJ's Tire Center and Costco, they offer some of the best overall tire buying experiences to include really low average prices and a lot of free services and a whole lot of convenience. Now, here in the mountains, Clark finds that Walmart generally has the lowest cost for passenger car tires. They have the largest brand selection. And by the way, they offer a $10 per tire road hazard warranty. So what are the Louders going to do? Well, I'm going to listen to Clark Howard. I'm going to determine the best tire, the tire that I need for our car. I'm going to get the best price that I can from Walmart. I like shopping at Walmart. But then I'm going to be talking to my local service dealer who also sells tires. And I got to tell you, if my local guy can get even somewhere close to what Walmart can do, I'm going to buy local. Now it is time for one of my favorite times together with the Lord and you. It is time for another Minute with Maxwell. Now recall that John Maxwell is a number one New York Times best-selling Christian author and coach and speaker, and well, he's considered the world's most influential leadership expert. And today let's see what John has to say about the word plan.
Hi, John here. I'm glad you're with me today. I'm in it with Maxwell. I recently talked to a leader who said, what I like to do is I like to kind of lay out all the steps for my people and then let them see what this journey is going to look like and then lead them through the journey. And I said to him, wow, I wish I could do that. He said, do what? I said, I wish I could lay out all the steps on the journey. You see, what I have found as a leader is that even if I lay out a few of the steps, things change. Life happens. I don't anticipate every change that's going to happen. And so what I suggest to you is this. Always have plan A. Absolutely. Think ahead. Plan ahead. Lay out a few steps. But be very quick to go to plan B. I have a book out called Leader Shift. And that book is all about the fact of making adjustments so that you can strengthen and stabilize your leadership. The best leaders, they just lead like they would navigate a ship. They basically catch the winds and make turn the sails just exactly right, trim them right, so they can get maximum distance out of where they're journeying. That's what you need to do. There's nothing wrong with making adjustments. There is something wrong with sticking to a plan when an adjustment needs to be made and missing what's right in front of you. So plan B is a good thing. I would suggest that you lean on it and look for it when plan A is not working. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Boy, does this word from John Maxwell really hit home for us today? Yes. The Lord and you need to set a plan for you and yours to move, for example, to move financially from where you are to where He would have you to be. You need to plan. Yes, you do. However, you also need to stay sensitive to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit working inside you. Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit knows every bend and every road you're ever going to take. He knows when to steer you to the right, to the left. He knows when to move you around, over, under, and even through every obstacle you're ever going to experience. And sometimes, maybe just sometimes, the Holy Spirit may redirect your road to financial freedom to come alongside all of us at Christian Financial Ministries. He may redirect you to www.christianfinancialministries.org. And if He does, we are ready to help. You can do it. We can help. Thanks, John, for another great Minute with Maxwell. Well, that wraps up our time together today. Recall that you discovered some ways that God wants to use His wealth in your life, and that you had several opportunities to listen to some real-world debt and borrowing questions. We talked a little bit about buying car tires, and you just had a great word from Maxwell on the word plan. My friend, thanks for being with us again today. Let me close us, please, in a word of prayer. Father, thank You for bringing us together today and for each of the days yet to come to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, and we're going to see you next time as we continue down your road to financial freedom, God's way.